Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFO Movies India Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the conference to Tushar from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to UFO Movies India Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. The company is represented by Mr. Rajesh Mishra, Executive Director and Group CEO, along with Mr. Ashish Malushre, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Mishra for opening remarks. Post which, we can start question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Greetings, everyone, and thank you all for joining our Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings call. The second quarter of this financial year began with the success of Kalki 2898 AD, released on 27 June 2024, which performed well across both Hindi and Southern markets. Alongside Kalki, the quarter was marked by the record-breaking performance of Stree 2 amidst a mix of varied content. So the first 2 months of the quarter saw average performances from titles such as Kill, Indian 2, Bad News, Rayaan, Khel Khel Mein, and Veda. Meanwhile, a few titles including Sarfira, Ulajh, Auron Mein Kahan Dham Tha, and Double I Smart fell short of expectations. In September, despite a lack of successful Hindi movies, the month proved to be the strongest of the quarter, driven by Southern releases such as The Goat and Devara Part 1. In total, 470 movies were released, including versions and languages, during the quarter, compared to 484 in Q2 FY24 and 476 in Q1 FY25. The combination of fewer tentpole releases and the underperformance of several key films in the quarter, along with the lack of successful Hindi films in September, resulted in a muted advertisement revenue for the quarter, contributing a decline of 17% year-on-year and improvement of 12% on Q-on-Q basis. However, a 7% increase in theatrical revenue and a 79% year-on-year growth in sale of product supported overall performance, resulting in an 11% year-on-year increase in total revenue this year. On the screen network front, the advertisement screen network grew to 3,735 screens, marking a 13% year-on-year increase. This includes 2,122 multiplex screens and 1,613 single screens, with the addition of 432 advertisement screens over the past year. However, there was a 1% decline quarter-over-quarter. Turning to the key figures for the quarter and half-year ended September 2024, the consolidated revenue of Q2 FY25 stood at rupees 968 million, as against rupees 871 million in Q2 FY24, primarily driven by sale of product. EBITDA was lower at rupees 102 million compared to rupees 177 million year-on-year, though it improved from rupees 66 million in Q1 FY25. The company has reported a net loss of rupees 9 million in Q2 FY25 compared to a net profit of 33 million in Q2 FY24, and improved from the net loss of rupees 42 million in Q1 FY25. Regarding half-year performance, consolidated revenues amounted to rupees 1913 million, as compared to rupees 1725 million in H1 FY24. EBITDA of H1 FY25 was at rupees 168 million compared to rupees 340 million in H1 FY24, mainly due to lower advertisement revenues. On the PAT front, the company reported a net loss of rupees 50 million in H1 FY25, against a profit of rupees 58 million in H1 FY24. The consolidated cash at the end of the quarter was at rupees 998 million, and the net cash was ₹409 million after considering outstanding debt. Looking ahead, although the quarter...
Hello, sir. Hello. Dear participants, kindly stay connected while we connect the management team back on the call. Dear participants, kindly stay connected while we connect the management team back on the call. I welcome back the management team. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Our apologies, we are facing some slight technical issue here. So I'll go back a paragraph and start reading again. I think I lost you from that point. So I was talking about regarding our half-year performance. The consolidated revenues amounted to ₹1913 million as compared to ₹1725 million in H1 FY24. EBITDA of H1 FY25 was at ₹168 million compared to ₹340 million in H1 FY24, mainly due to lower advertisement revenues. On the PAT front, the company has reported a net loss of ₹50 million in H1 FY25 against a profit of ₹58 million in H1 FY24. The consolidated cash at the end of the quarter was at ₹998 million and the net cash was ₹409 million after considering outstanding debt. Looking ahead, though the quarter began on a subdued note with release of some films like Vettaiyan Jigra and Vicky Vidya Kavavala video, the upcoming release pipeline looks good with releases such as Bhool Bhulaiya 3, Singham Again, Tangua, Pushpa 2 and Baby John in December. We are optimistic about building up momentum in the upcoming quarters. I would now like to take this opportunity to thank all our stakeholders for their continued trust in the company. With that, I open the floor to take your questions. My colleague and CFO, Mr. Ashish Malishte, and I will be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Ankit Kanodia from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is related to the press release we shared yesterday. In the notes, point number 4, we have alluded to an NCLT order, but I find it difficult to believe, as in the order came in January and we are reinstating our accounts now. Can you give us some more color as to what happened and why we are doing this reinstatement today rather than earlier?
Hold on, you are referring to a press release, right?
Yes.
That's what you mentioned?
Yeah, press release. Yesterday's press release, as in the BSE notification, BSE announcement of results, where in the after the financial statements, you have shared notes to accounts, and I'm referring to notes number 0.4.
Okay. So you're talking about Regulation 33, note 4.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah. Amalgamation.
Yeah.
My question is, we have reinstated our last year's quarterly revenues, and there we have mentioned that please check note number 4. And in note number 4, we have mentioned that there was an NCLT order regarding approving this amalgamation scheme in the month of January. So can you throw more light into what was this order, what was the amalgamation scheme, and why we are reinstating our last year's account today.
Okay, so I got your question and thanks for bringing it up. So the thing is, the effect has been given immediately after the order was received, which was somewhere in Q4 of last year. Now the problem is, in this particular quarter, we are disclosing a comparison between current quarter, which is Q2 for current year, with Q2 for last year. Correct? Now, when there was a Q2, when we were in Q2 last year, this order had not come in. So therefore, the last year's Q2 reported numbers didn't have this order effect.
Okay.
Now that we are presenting to your comparison, we had two options. Either we keep Q2 last year's reported number the way it was, without giving adjustment of the order, or without giving effect to the order, and comparing it with this Q2, but then this wouldn't have been apple to apple.
Got it.
So therefore,
got it.
And this is a very, very normal practice. This is nothing new. Just that this kind of restatement helps the reader of the financial statements to have an apple to apple comparison. Okay?
Got it. Sir, can you just throw some more light as to the order and the amalgamation scheme of the four?
Okay. Thank you again. So this was a simple order, merger. We had certain 100% subsidiaries of ours, and therefore, and many of those subsidiaries were formed for a specific objective, primarily in relation to DCI business, okay, in 2011-12. One of that was a company that we had also acquired, and finally it became 100% subsidiary. So this scheme is basically a very simple scheme in which we simplified our corporate structure, and all our 100%, those 100% subsidiaries which were formed with a particular objective and that objective was met, those companies were only merged into the holding company. Now when you look at a consolidated number, there is no change, because when they were separate, that time also the numbers were part of console 100%. And now that they are part of, they are merged into UFO, still the numbers would remain the same. So the scheme was only and only to get those 100% subsidiaries into UFO so that you have some savings in operational efficiencies and operational costs.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. That was very helpful. My second question is related to the dip in the advertisement revenue. Of course, we understand that whenever the industry doesn't do well in terms of blockbuster movies or the number of movies, then our ad revenues also go down. But when I look at the number of minutes sold per show per ad screen, I think it is 2.68 in H1 FY25. And I don't think in the last many years, I'm seeing FY15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, up until FY24. We have never come down to this kind of level. So what do you think is the reason for such a low number on this metric? Because I think this metric is a very good indicator as to how our ad revenues will do, right?
Yeah, so it's a good observation when you're comparing it with the past performance in terms of volume of minutes sold. And yes, in this quarter, you see a reduction. I'm not trying to justify it, but you would have slightly similar level of volume even in the past. But more important point which I want to drive is, yes, you touched base on the issue that we all faced, which was content was erratic in Q1. And why I'm saying Q1 is, advertisement business, my request to you all is just appreciate this point, that advertisement business builds on the previous performance of the cinema as a medium. So if in Q1 there is a bad performance of content as a whole pursued by the advertiser, their allocation in Q2 will not be good. So now you have to wait for Q2, wait for something like Q3 to come. And then the allocation is there, and next quarter's allocation also becomes positive. So over here, the challenge was because of the content performance of Q1, which continued in Q2. But I want to bring to your notice one point, which is about the pricing. Now, we don't disclose the pricing for strategic reasons. but you can derive the pricing related point. If you actually compare the fall in volume and the fall in actual sales, okay, turnover, the actual drop in the sales is far too lower in terms of percentage as compared to fall in the volume of the minutes sold. So what it tells us is that the ad sales team, in spite of having these challenges, were able to generate this kind of volume, which is not really, really very, very low, but this kind of a volume that they were able to generate at higher price points than what they were selling in the first quarter or in the same quarter last year. And this was a very strategic move that we wanted to push after we exited COVID. And for us, exiting COVID is still a process. And it's not only for UFO, for cinema industry as a whole. And this is one major win for us, I would say, that the teams were able to demonstrate that higher pricing, they were able to push in the market and still able to get this kind of a volume. So this is one point which I want to tell. The corollary of, I mean, the other way to look at it is, if we had given free hand to the sales team not to bother about pricing, then probably the volume could have been higher. I don't want to speculate how high it would have been, but I'm sure you would appreciate that pushing pricing up is always a challenge in any industry, and here you are actually seeing it happen.
Right. So my next question is related to this advertisement revenue only. So when in a quarter our advertisement revenue year on year is going down swiftly, I just fail to understand why our advertisement share with the exhibitors or distributors, it is going up by 33%, because when I look at your standalone and consolidated results, I see a 33% jump in the advertisement revenue share in the expense column. Why that is happening?
Yeah, so again, two reasons here. One is something which probably you would have been able to track, that there were some very critical acquisitions that we did of advertisement site of some very large networks down south. And that was in the third quarter, I mean, Jan this calendar year. And over there, we had larger commitments on, you know, the minimum guarantee. And those commitments were relatively higher as compared to what my sharing is. And that was bound to push my overall percentage up. Just to give you perspective, that was almost adding 400 screens to my network of 3,600 screens. So a little over 12% was the increase in the number that I was doing to my network at a higher, you know, the minimum guarantee value. Now, the simple answer is that. But what I want to, since this point has come up for discussion, I want to quickly take you to some data points, and that is relevant for probably is relevant from the investor's point of view. In 2020 or even before that, UFO was generally perceived to be a single screen player, and there was a very common discussion whenever we used to, you know, meet the investor. The perception was, okay, you serve single screens. Single screens are going to shut down over a period of time, and therefore probably you are operating in a sunset industry. And right, we made efforts to explain them that that's not true. We are trying to service the whole plethora of the players in this industry. So ultimately, the thing that we were trying to do was to change the composition of single screen multiplex in my overall network. And when I say I want to change this composition, that means that I have to acquire multiplexes probably at a higher minimum guaranteed value. Minimum guarantee is the sharing that we commit to the theaters. So ultimately in 4 years, even considering the COVID period, what we have achieved is, in 2020, my screen count was 3792 and my multiplex count was 1565. And today, my screen count is slightly lower to 3735. So almost there, 50 screens down. But from 1500 multiplexes, the multiplex count now has gone up to 2122. Now, this is a very, very significant move. So 2122, probably we are the largest in terms of the advertisement network in the country, having multiplex as a count. And these multiplexes have also helped us to make sure that the quality improves and therefore the pricing improves. and overall the health of this vertical would start looking better from now on when the content supports. So the reason why the share has gone up is because the quality of network was to be improved. I have given you a specific example of Jan where there was a 10% commitment that we had done volume wise. But the deeper strategy behind it is what I explained to you. Moving from single screen to multiplex.
Yeah, so if I got it correct, so does that mean that the ad sharing which has gone up slightly higher as in 76.43%, this should potentially go down to our average 30, 35, 40%, which it has to be, which it was in the past as well. That is what you would like to say?
So mathematically speaking, how much it will go down will depend on the denominator. And denominator in this case is the sales that we do per screen.
Okay.
So if you're doing say 4.5-5 lakh, we will be around 60%, 55-60%. The moment we start inching closer to 8-9 lakhs, this will come down closer to 40-45%. So this is a beauty. In fact, this you can actually see in our numbers. Q1 the sharing will be higher.
Mm-hmm.
My Q1 sharing was almost 85%, and in Q2 it has come down to 69%. This is how actually it plays.
Okay, one last question if I may. So at a time when the industry is probably going through a lull period, what makes us bump up our expenses on digital cinema equipment and lamps? As in, I see that almost doubling if I compare H1 to H1 FY25 to H1 FY24. It would be that from 20 crore it has gone up to 37 crore, almost double.
Can you help me with the line item, because there is some
purchase of digital cinema, purchase of digital cinema equipment and lamp. It's in the operating direct cost, second line.
In fact, I'm very, very thankful to you raise this point. This actually explains that the industry is not in that kind of a bad situation, and I'll tell you why. We have two lines of business primarily. Of course, those are closely linked with each other. The one which we have been discussing is about my service offering, where I have my servicing the theaters and then I advertisement, right, and I monetize it. But since we are in this business, whenever there is a theater which wants to buy equipment on its own, okay, we become one-stop shop for them, and sale of digital cinema equipment, which is a trading business for us, is another line of business for us. And it's a steady business in India and in international, predominantly in international. When I say international, in Middle East, Dubai. So over here, we play the role of a trader. We buy the equipment and we sell the equipment, and we have 20% margin. Okay? So all that you see here is only and only because more number of people decided to buy digital cinema equipment in India and in Middle East. And therefore, my sales was high, and correspondingly, my sharing was high. I mean, not sharing. My cost of purchases was high. I think we earned three crores more on year-on-year basis from this trading line of business, if I'm correct.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 crores is what we have earned. So it is not to be confused with my core business expense, but it can surely be an indication of whether the industry is still investing into capex for this business or not, apart from us. We are outsiders.
Got it. And sir, if I understood it correctly, so basically from a macro perspective...
Sorry, go ahead.
So from a macro perspective, there are two main levers for our company. One is the quality and the quantity of movies getting released. And the number two is the amount of people coming to the theater to watch. Like in number one, we don't have any control, because what kind of movies will come and how many movies will come, that we can't have any control. We are not in the business of making movies, right? But on the second point, in terms of making more people coming to cinema, I think we have started on two initiatives. One is the Caravan and the other is Nova Cinemas. So how do you see that in the near term and in the medium term? These help you to get more people on the theaters and maybe that will help us in our revenue streams. That's my last question.
Okay. So as far as Caravan Cinema is concerned, that is a moving talkers business that we have been engaged in, and we see good traction in this business from state governments and even during elections and political parties and all those things. It is a very good business to be in because it is reaching out to areas where there are no cinemas, let us say. Right now, going up into the rural areas, or they are, government is using these vans and all, like they had used for Viksit Bharat campaign, Aadhaar card updation and all those activities. So, this business does not have a steady trend, but it comes in bursts, and in particular times like a election happening or a, you know, like for example in monsoons, the business will go down. It will, there will be very little traction because these are open air shows that are conducted. But December area, I mean, the winter fares well on this business, and we are hoping to see traction in the coming quarters in this activity. See, regarding getting more footfall in the cinema, I mean, we can reach out with initiatives like Nova and Caravan for the interior cinemas. And we will be looking at engaging people to come and encourage them more to come to the cinemas. Point to be appreciated here is that these are areas where there was no cinema at all. So the cinema viewing habit has to be rekindled over here. But for that, again, we will be dependent largely to the, to a large extent on good quality of films coming in. So as I had mentioned, we are seeing a good lineup in Q3 and Q4 going forward. So this will definitely push that. As far as Nova is concerned, Nova is still a nascent business for us. One property opened up in Uttar Pradesh, and second property we are just opening up with Diwali with the release of Singham and Bhul Bhulaiya. So it's still early days, but this is a business that will have a larger potential to reaching out to the hinterland over there where there are no cinemas, as I said, and this should be a very good initiative from our perspective and also from the perspective of the cinema viewing habits of people.
Thank you so much, sir, for all the detailed answers and all the best. I'll come back in the queue if I have any more. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Aditya Karnat, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks so much. So I have a few questions. One, I think good that you highlighted pricing. I think the market is at least reacting positively to that. I don't think the market is aware, so that's good. I hope you continue to
increase
pricing strength.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, we missed your point. Sorry.
Yeah, can you hear me? No.
Yeah, this is better.
No, I was just saying a couple of questions, but I think it's good that you highlighted pricing because I think the market also pretty much reacting to your words. So I think it's new information. With every time you have pricing strength, I encourage you to play it up. But obviously, like, pricing is not enough, right? You're pricing into volume with revenue. So your volume still was quite on the lower end. And if you compare, like, PVR starts their quarter saying Bollywood has a big bounce back, 40% increase in box office collection, but it doesn't show up on your side of it. You had 3-2 also in this, in August, right? In August, 3-2. So that was a breakout hit. So you had pricing and you should have had a good volume, but it didn't happen. So can you just talk about, like, what the challenges were in this quarter with volume? Because your ad revenues are down relatively and your inventory sales or your whatever, your per revenue, per screen revenue or minutes sold, they're all kind of down. But your pricing is up. But so it's clearly a volume issue. So what was the issue if we had, like, good box office and 3-2. Just if you can talk about pricing, then I have a few other questions on free cash.
Yeah, sure. So let's address this point. In fact, I tried to address this point in the first set of questions. So basically, Aditya, in our case, when I say R, it's not UFO. It's primarily digital cinema. Cinema as an advertising medium. In our case, the content helps pushing the perspective of the advertisers, and therefore it's not necessary that if a particular movie has done phenomenally well, immediately the next day after the release, the advertisers will start, you know, lining up and changing the allocation. So here, at least a quarter is what we say, or sometimes even more, for advertisers to start re-looking at this medium. Let's look at the size of this medium. All put together, we will be less than maybe one, 3%, right? Not as an industry. Yeah, we are now officially less than 1% of the overall addicts. Now, if that's the case, what it means is 99% of the spends are already allocated anywhere else. So we have to really, really, all of us, make a lot of efforts to get the advertisers back, the advertisers' mindshare back, if they have decided that, aray, yeh nahi chal raha hai, abhi kahin aur allocation kar. So therefore, a 3-2 doing well will be really helpful for those who earn their profitability from sale of tickets and sale of F&B, which is your exhibition sector. But digital cinema operators like us, service providers like us, would have to wait for the past content to change the perspective that way. And therefore, we are really hopeful, and things are also looking positive for this Q3, where the content is really having some good names in next 3 months. So that's the reason, basically, a good 3-2 necessarily need not help us to immediately push my volume.
Okay, because I thought your business is directly correlated to success of Bollywood, right? Like, because I mean, when you have footfall increase in Bollywood, it should show up on your
It is with a lag. Aditya, what you're trying to say is it comes with a lag. It is directly and indirectly linked with the success of the way the content behaves in a way that it is able to get the footfalls in theaters, because ultimately what advertisers are looking for is footfalls. So this lag is always there, though it is directly related.
Okay. How should one think about your business? Like, basically, like, you had hits in this quarter, but it doesn't show up. Next quarter, there may not be any hits. So then again, nothing will happen. So, like, you need like a sustained period of hits for advertisers to come back to this medium, or what is the turning point?
No, it's not really like that. Currently, it is looking like that because, as I said, that for 1%, which we all are, we have to really make a lot of efforts to get advertisers to start looking at us again. But right now, it looks like it's a game of content. Ab ye quarter mein hai, to advertisers next quarter aayenge, next quarter nahi hai, to uske agle quarter kya? But if you actually go back in pre-COVID period, this always was a situation. There will be a good content, there will be a bad content. But nobody used to really discuss so much about it, and people used to go and start watching the films. What has now happened is, for some period of time, people were choosing which content to see. And therefore, the average consumption that which we always keep referring, that 5 to 7 movies a year, is the average consumption of a typical cinegoer, that also was reduced. Honestly, it's a change in habit, and we were waiting and seeing whether it's a sort of a permanent in nature, which would have been disastrous. And I will just give you one data point which will not make me speak more about it, but in last 3 months, you would have seen so many re-releases, and re-releases doing good. Mm. In fact, Gen Z also is going and watching a movie of 1990. And that, what it is telling us is, people really want to go out in the theater and have some good time there. Okay, not necessarily they have to chase the content and go there. So hopefully this consumption pattern goes back, and where I'm seeing 5-7 movies a year, people keep watching. and there's not much of discussion continuing on social media about ye acha hua movie kharab hai, you know, all that. If that happens, we go back to a normalized consumption scenario. A normalized consumption scenario will help us to go back to the advertisers and get a higher allocation. That's it.
Okay, great. No, thank you so much. That is very helpful context on consumer behavior. Just maybe two questions, I'll lump them together. One is, can you just help understand, like, however you define it, but like free cash flow, how much does this network throw off in terms of cash? If you look at, you, let's say you've normalized your acquisitions and so on, and what is the free cash flow generation of this business pre-COVID and now what is it? And you can define that as cash flow operations minus your, I don't know, 10 crores capex or something like that. But just give a sense of that first question. And two, just on the percentage sharing number, that's still quite high. But and so then again, you're almost like working for the exhibitors rather than your network. But when does that normalize and how does that happen? And what kind of timeline should we expect that to come to 45-50?
So let me take second question first. We tried to actually address this, Aditya, at length, that how from 85% we have come down to 69% and why the sharing itself is at so high level, because we are trying to improve the quality of network and we were successful. We have over 2100 multiplexes on our network today, and that's the reason why the commitments were higher, and as the revenue goes up, the percentage sharing would keep dropping down. That's an elaborate discussion. I would request my IR team to connect with you and share those details with you, what we discussed, so that there's no repetition for the rest of the investors on the call. The first question that you have said, I'd like to slightly tweak, instead of just telling you what my cash generation was, what it is today, let me try to put it slightly differently, and if that helps, good. Otherwise, I'll go back and get you the actual data. Of course, that's there in public domain. The way to look at our business is, today what you are seeing is we are making some amount of profitability, well, at EBITDA level, at PAT level, we are almost there. But from here on, the trigger for pushing the revenue and profitability up is only and only the volume and the pricing of the advertisement minutes. So from my current 2.7 minutes per show, if I double it, the volume and double my pricing, then I'm looking at four times the same sales. Whatever sales I've done, four times of that will be my new sales. And against that, you don't have equal proportion of expenses such as sharing. So that is what almost 55 to 60% of my incremental revenue would directly go in PBT. And against that, there is no compulsory capex that we have to do. We are basically milking my network. So you can consider whatever my numbers are showing you on 6 monthly basis as a minimum base, and then you can have your own estimates about where the volume and pricing can go of ad sales. And around 55-60% is going to get into your PBT. And that is nothing but your free cash after the taxes are taken out.
Okay. Yeah. Any specific ballparks in terms of past and future? Assume normalized pricing, normalized, because you don't know what the market clearing price is for your network right now. But if you assume maybe 10-20% higher pricing, 30% higher volume, like what does your cash flow come to, something like that?
So first, if I have to actually do that, I have to give an guesstimate about where I'm seeing pricing grow and when. And that's the reason why we generally, or rather we have never given that indication. But if you do this math, which is simple Excel, I mean, you take current base and incremental revenue, 55% of that goes in bottom line. The revenue will be determined by minutes and the spot rate.
I've done the math. It's just that those numbers are not turned up yet. So.
actually, we have come a long way from where we were in the middle of the pandemic. And I think I keep saying that we have a slow path of recovery for all of us, and we are also one of the the industry players. Now on, I think we should start seeing a major push.
Yeah, no, good luck. I think it's still undervalued, but it will hopefully come through. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ravi.
Thank you. Next question comes from Ashish Goyal from Max Rock Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and my festive greetings to the management. I have a couple of questions. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So, my first question was on the sale of equipment business. So this piece has been doing good for us for like since the COVID period. And what would be the primary reason for it? And is it sustainable in the long run?
Yeah, so the sale of equipment business is done in two regions. One is in our Middle East operations and also in India. Largely the business is in the Middle East for the sale of equipment. And this has been pretty much a steady state business for us. And in India also, as the aspirations of the cinemas are increasing and more and more people are entering into this business, they are also looking at buying of the equipments. But when they buy the equipments, they need an integrator to, one, sell them the equipments, maintain them, and also provide them business support services like providing content and advertising sales. So this is also something which we encourage because this allows us to participate in the business without investment from our side, but still gives us value on the sale of equipments over here. So this is something that we would look at pushing in the future also. And as far as the Middle East is concerned, I think Saudi Arabia, when it opened up last year, it had a very decent uptick over there. And we expect to see good volumes in that region from that perspective also. So increase in the sale of product is a good indicator and something that we look forward to.
Just on number fronts, in this quarter, you see 22.5 crore of sale of product revenue and almost margin on that is 5.7 crore. Of that, out of 22.5 crore, almost 17 crores is in Middle East operations. And out of 5.7 crores, 4.7 crores is in Middle East operations profit. Margin, I mean, not the profit, the direct margin. So in this quarter, the Middle East has contributed significantly.
All right, thank you. That was helpful. Second question would be on the screen addition front. So just trying to understand that we have added few screens and more of our now screen counts, counts are like the multiplexes, which we call the prime screens. So just wanted to understand how is this increase helping us in the overall business, as on the, you know, the face of the revenue, we don't see much of a movement on that. So if you could just help us understand to put the numbers together.
So, sorry, you mentioned that there's an increase in screens?
No, I'm saying in addition of new prime screens, the multiplex
service, yeah.
And maybe, you know, some movement in the new screen count, how are they going to help us in our core business?
Okay. So, firstly, your observation was the new screens adding is not adding to revenue. So, on face of it, the revenues have not moved, but at the same time, the unfortunate fact of the industry was in this period, not many screens also closed down. So in one of the questions I had given data point, where I said that in Q4 FY20, my screen count was 3792 at screen count. Today it is 3735, so almost 60 screens down. This is in spite of adding not many new screens. And why I'm saying so? While the screen count is almost there, my multiplex screen count has moved from 1565 to 2122. So almost 600 screens I've added in my network, which are multiplex category. When I say those got added, but my number of screens overall remained the same, which means other category screens closed down. So what happens is, when some of our revenue streams such as rental and CDC is directly linked with the number of screens, because we don't have a differentiated rate there, which is directly linked with the quality of screens as such. Some correlation is there, but not a very direct link. So therefore, overall my number of screens have remained where they were, and therefore these two revenue streams would also remain where they are. But a better quality network helps us to position ourselves better, as I said in the previous question, before the advertisers. And that is what should start happening from now.
Okay. Thank you. And that is from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Ankit Kanodia from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for allowing me a follow-up. I just need to ask one more question. Since our share price has come down sharply in the recent months, and we have a good enough liquidity, are we having any plans of maybe announcing a buyback at this price, at this valuation? Given that we believe that the medium-term and long-term outlook are in favor of us, so are we discussing on those lines?
So answer to that is no. The liquidity that you see is basically what we have managed to get through, we've managed to get fresh infusion into company during COVID, towards the end of COVID period. And actually that has helped us to have a very decent cash position. So today we are still very positively on a net cash positive level. So there is no discussion around buyback. Even technically, there is no possibility of buyback because I am sitting on huge accumulated losses. So that is also a challenge. Anyway, keeping that aside, there is no discussion around buyback. We are more focused on currently getting the business back on track, both on screen addition front and more importantly on the advertisement revenue growth front.
Sir, I didn't understand the accumulated losses part, because I see the reserves are positive. How can accumulated losses you're talking about?
So the reserves that you see would be on account of share premium.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Business losses which were in first 2 years of COVID.
Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to Mr. Tushar for closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, we would like to thank the management of UFO Movies and the participants. Good day.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a good day.